Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you each for being here. It's good to be among you. And for those who are joining online, I want to welcome you in the name of Christ as well. It's good to be online with you as well. Wanted to share some thoughts tonight. I think this is a pretty simple message, but for me, it's been one of the hardest to implement messages. And it's, for me, it's been a very personally pointed message to me, but it may be relevant to you too, if you have challenges like I do. So before I go into the main message, just wanted to tell you a little bit of the story behind this sermon, which includes a bit of a confession. So first, the good part. I just want to tell you each, I want to testify that God has blessed me with affection for my brothers and sisters in Christ. He's blessed me with affection for my family, my extended family. I even like my in-laws. God's blessed me with affection for people. And I think a lot of times I've relied on that and thought that that affection was the same thing as charity. So I've often in my life, and I had this experience earlier this year, towards the beginning of the year, where I suddenly had this kind of crisis of realization about the way I've treated people in my life, where I have this affection for them, and I've thought that that meant I truly love them. But when I looked back, I kind of had almost an out-of-body experience where I was able to see how my actions toward them actually came across. And, you know, I may have thought that I loved them greatly, but my actions were not necessarily coming across to them. They didn't feel the same on their side. I had this happen in a couple relationships where I was finally able to see with clarity how my actions were coming across to them. So, and I saw that there was this disconnect between how I felt about them and how they perceived my feelings towards them because of my actions. And God started working on me. He's been working on me to feel this and to understand it and take it seriously. And this is one of the verses that he immediately hit me with and that has stuck with me through this progression and hopefully growth. 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to read, I think this is just verse 13. Let me open my Bible so I make sure I give you the exact right reference. So this has been a passage about charity. Most of you will know this passage really well. And I'm just going to read one verse out of it. 1 Corinthians 13. And this is the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And so God just hit me with this verse and let me see that the way I was loving people, or in my mind thought I was loving people, was like this sounding brass and this tinkling cymbal, where maybe it was loud, maybe it was spoken, but it wasn't impactful, it wasn't felt, it wasn't coming through my actions. He gave me this loving, like sounding brass. It's just what stuck with me. That's the type of love I was doing. I wasn't really fulfilling that obligation of charity through action as well. So tonight I want to help anyone who may be struggling with this, hopefully, talk about why at least I was having this blind spot, and you may have this blind spot as well in your life, why that happens, the importance of being fully charitable to people in our lives, the importance of following through on our sentiments into our actions, and what it looks like when we are really manifesting our love for others, and maybe with some audience participation in here. I do have a couple volunteers who are going to help with something. Okay, so why did it take me this kind of this out-of-body experience, this crisis of recognition, someone who's a pretty functional adult, I've been around you all for a long time, I've been to Sunday school most of my life, why did it take so long for me to really just truly see the difference between what I wanted people to perceive and what they were perceiving? James 1, 23 through 24, and he does a pretty good job of explaining our human condition here. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So James is giving us this really true depiction, at least true to my life, of what human nature is like. We're not great at self-awareness. when we do get an accurate view of what we're like and how we come across, we're not great at remembering that. And we see ourselves in the glass every once in a while, we see ourselves reflected, and we walk away and we forget about it. So why are we so bad at this? What's contributed to that? Something that stuck out to me, Tony McAdoo said to me, he said, everyone plays their own highlight reel in their head. When we think back about what our life has been like, we highlight the positive, or a lot of us do. Some people struggle with the other side, and there's been points in my life where I've been there too, where all I could remember was the awkward things that I'd done in my life or the bad things I'd done in my life. But a lot of us, and I've been guilty of this, we look back in our lives, we look at our interactions with people, and we think about all the good things, the highlights of those relationships, not necessarily the low lights. We often judge ourselves based on our intentions of good instead of the reality of the outcomes. This is from a quote from Maya Angelou that's really resonated with me. I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. It's important for us, it's important for me to get this true picture of how my actions are impacting other people. I don't think any of us want to hurt or neglect others, but I know at least in my life, I have unwittingly done that at times because I did not have this accurate picture. This, and more importantly too, than just how this makes people feel about us personally, as representatives of Christ, sometimes we're all people will get to see of what Christ is like. And so if we're not treating people with the charity we're asked to, we can be a representation, a bad representation of Christ to them. So I want to talk about charity in both word and deed. And there's some verses I want to highlight. This is Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which you are also called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and Father by him. So this charity we're to have, that he can fill us with and can reflect and his love to others, it's supposed to be expressed in word and in deed, in our actions. I've got a little chart up here, and I have to do an examination of where am I. And we've got in the top left, am I loving in word? And am I loving in deed? Good checks on both? Great, that's where we're supposed to be. But what about if I'm loving, and going to the top right, I'm loving in deed, I'm loving through my actions, but I'm not loving through my words. Some of us know people like this where they do a lot and they really truly try to serve people, but they have a hard time ever vocalizing that, ever telling people that they love them and how much they mean to them. So some of us are in that camp. We go down to the bottom left. These are people who love in word, but not in deed. And this has kind of been always my struggle in life. I'm always willing to tell someone I love them, but not necessarily great at always following up on that and actually loving them through my actions. And then we've got people on the bottom right who are both not loving in word and not loving in deed. And I've been there plenty of times in my life, and we can all probably think of some cantankerous person who is oftentimes is both fulfilling both the not loving in word and not loving in deed. So let's self-evaluate. Where are we and where are we today and where do we want to be? And I'd recommend this sermon if you need something to listen to this week. This was by our brother Kevin. It was on December 12th, 2021. So if you go to cocsermons.net and you click on Temple Lot Local, you'll be able to view past videos. If you go back to this one, I'd really recommend it. He talks a lot about this, loving both in word and deed. All right, so next I want to talk about this importance of following through on our sentiments. If we have affection for people, if we love people or we want to love people, actually following up on those sentiments and putting them into deed, into action. So let's go to a parable of Christ. This is in Matthew 21, 28 through 31. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered, talking about the son, and he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered, talking about the second son, and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. So I kind of remember the first time I heard this parable, or at least the first time as with the ability to retain it. And when I first heard it, my initial was reaction, well, it was the second son who did it right. Because as soon as his father asked, he said, I will do it. But Christ is really confronting us with this, or confronting me with this, who is actually doing the will of the Father. And it's actually the second one who heard it and had an initial reaction of, no, I won't, but then repented and did the will of the Father. So I'll let that sit with you for a minute, and I think you'll end up at the same place as me. Instead of lip service and perceived obedience, God is looking for people who will humble themselves and do his will. Let's go to James 2, 14 through 17. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Similarly to faith in God being meaningless if we don't act on it, so is this affection I have for others if I don't act on it. There has to be action here. So I'm going to call up our volunteers, and I hope you guys will forgive me if this is too out of the ordinary. I'm going to ask for some help in illustrating this verse, and Dylan and Tyler are going to help me out if you guys are going to come right here. So I'm going to read back this verse I started with, 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So I'm going to show you some scenarios, and these are from my life. These are things I've struggled with. And what I want help with from Dylan and Tyler is they're going to hear these scenarios, and they're going to, if it sounds like acting in charity, acting in true love, they don't have to make any noise. But if it sounds like in this scenario, I am acting, or whoever is, if you want to put yourself in this scenario, acting just out of the desire to feel good or portray myself as good, but not actually out of love and out of charity for the other person. I want them to make the sound of sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You guys want to try it once? Oh, okay. All right, you guys ready for the scenarios? Okay. This might be confusing. You guys might have to help them. So I'm really good at wording things in a confusing way. All right, so this scenario, I'm telling someone I'm going to be there for them, but I don't actually help them when they need that. Okay, it's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It doesn't really do that much. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't help them out. It's just words. Okay, telling a friend I haven't seen in a while that we should get together, but I never actually make it happen. This is very personal. I do this all the time. Unfortunately. Okay, what do you guys think? Oh, bad one. Okay. You can actually do a song if you need, Dylan. Okay, here's another scenario. I commit to my church body, you know, through my baptism, through my statements to you, that I'm willing to mourn with you, but then I don't show up to funerals. Is that an act of charity or just because I want to feel like I'm doing things good? Yep, it's like sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. Okay, how about saying yes when someone asks me to help them with a project, but then not following through on it? All right, here's a tricky one, okay? What about if I give my money to the poor, but I also make sure everyone on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube knows about it? What do you think? Yep, this is a real scenario. I don't know if you guys have been on YouTube long enough to see it, but there's lots of videos, gets lots of views, that are solely based around people very publicly giving a donation to a poor person, and it's all about them just generating views and likes, not based out of real charity. Okay, so if this isn't, unfortunately, I don't just do this to other human beings. I find myself in scenarios where I do this to God as well, where I, for example, I praise God, I say that I love him, but then I behave indifferently towards his commandments. This is Tyler's first time trying the sounding brass. Okay. Okay, that's good. Why don't we give that one back to Dylan? All right. Scenario: saying I trust God, but then giving myself over to fear. Yep. Okay. Praising God is all powerful, but then doubting his ability to work in my life and the people around me. Yep. Okay, here's a final one. Praising God is all wise, but not following his guidance when he gives it through the Holy Spirit. Okay, thank you guys. Thank you, very good job. All right, so that was different. I hope it sticks with you in your mind, and you hear those sounds anytime. If you're like me, you get tempted to say something, but then not back it up with your actions. Okay, so this last part, I just want to talk about this, the calling that we are given, this high calling of being a servant, with some verses on this. Let's go to Luke 22, 23 through 27. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. So think about these disciples who've been with Christ for this time, traveling around Palestine, going to different cities, and hearing him speak, and hearing his message over and over again. And yet still, towards the end of this book of Luke, they're struggling with some things that are very human. And there was also strife among them, starting again in 24. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. And he's going to, in this experience of the Last Supper, he's going to wash their feet. He's going to put himself in a place where he really gives them this visual of what he's calling them to do, to be servants, like he's exhibiting. Let's go to Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my love, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Repent. So we have to repent. We have to change our minds. We have to humble ourselves, as it's telling us here. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. For me, that takes a repentant act. I have to change my mind about this, and I have to see others as worthy of service, that I would act with them, to them in charity as a servant. And I have to look in it from a point of humility. I have to look at others. Continuing in Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he's using Christ here as an example who was equal to God. He was in heaven. He was this this heavenly being. And it was an act of service, an act of humility to come down to earth. And then once he got here, he just exhibited over and over again his humility and his love by his service. Going to Ephesians 5, 25 through 30, we heard the beginning of this passage this morning. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. So in this example, does Christ say he loves us? He tells us throughout the scriptures, throughout the message that he brought, that he loved us. But it was not without action. It was fulfilled, and we can believe it because of the actions by his teaching, by his actions, and by his sacrifice. He confirmed that love for us. And look how this description, how carefully he's attending to this bride, to his wife, the church. He's cleansing it. He's nourishing it. There's just, you can get this feel. I think it's probably calling back to this imagery of the Last Supper where he's washing their feet. He's caring for our church. So as husbands, sons, older men, we've been given this example of how to care for, protect, serve the women around us. And us as a church, we're given this example of how much Christ loves us and how he wants to nurture us. He wants to work with us. He wants us to bring us to this full reflection of him. 1 John 3:16 through 18. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So I've probably showed this before. When I used to hear this verse and always think about some heroic act. You should think about stepping in front of a bus and shoving someone out of the way or something like that. Some grand heroic act that would be the fulfillment of this verse in my life. But what I was convicted with is that, no, this is an everyday thing. This is every day making the decision to prefer others and to serve others. It's our habits that come out and play out through our life. So in closing, I would just ask you to think about maybe some examples of those people in your lives who you've seen serve in love that have affected your life. I'm thinking about Sunday school teachers who devoted their time. And it's not just that hour. I'm the son of a Sunday school teacher, and I know from first-hand experience, it's not just that 45 minutes on Sunday morning. It's hours and hours of preparation that go into that, making that 45 minutes really impactful for the kids that they desire to bless. So people around us who you always see preparing food, maintaining the building, setting up, cleaning up, there's all those people who are behind the scenes. I'm looking at them, who are making things happen. You are acting in service of your fellow man and to God through that service. So parents, a lot of young parents, you just got done folding your 600th pair of socks, and just for them to get messed up as soon as they get put in the drawer, you're an example of service to your children, to the people in your family. People who are calling, texting, writing letters. I know I get Zerna Kaufman, if you ever see this, Ella Engel, if you ever see this, you have encouraged me through your messages. I get text messages or I get a letter from people who are just wanting to encourage their brothers and sisters. And I know there are many of you who have been the recipients and are the senders of messages like that. Keep it up. It's really a blessing to the people you're reaching out to. People who are looking out for the needy in our communities. I think about our women's group who are constantly looking around at people in our congregation and people outside of our congregation. How can we bless these people? Thank you for that example. And I'll leave you with a final verse in Moroni 7:52 and 53. So if you're like me and you've been convicted, like I've been, that I need more charity, I need some more of this true love of Christ in my life, acting out to the people around me, there's hope. Moroni 7:52 through 53. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, for it is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at that last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. So I hope that you can see this, what there is to do in this. We can pray for this charity, and we can be given this charity for others. So make that a part of your life. Make that a part of your regular prayers, that you would have this gift of charity. It's I need it as well. So in closing, because I have affinity for you, I'd like to tell you all that I love you. But instead, I'll just ask that you look and see if I do it through my actions. God bless you each.